Luke chapter 3, verse 1. We'll talk. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judah, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and in the region of Tacronitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Albanine, and Ananias and Sapphias being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. He came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So keep in mind that John is preaching prophecy that is finally coming to pass. And then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Almost done. Now is the axe laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do? And he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath one, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. And he answered and said unto them, verse 12, then came also publicans to be baptized, and he said unto them, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any man falsely, and be content with your wages. Verse 15 is my message. And as the people were in expectation, all the men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. I want to preach to you on the topic, expectation, doorway to the miraculous. And you pray for us.
Lord, we pray over this service, God, that you would just have your will and way. Lord, that you would use Pastor tonight, God, as he preaches the word. I pray that you use him and every word that he speaks, Lord, let it be from you, God. Let us come in here just ready to take this word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you for standing so long. God bless you. So if I were to summarize what we just read to you, I would summarize it this way. John the Baptist steps on the scene. John the Baptist begins to preach and teach the prophecy of the coming of the Lord, which was at the moment in the time of fulfillment. And people begin to respond. And the Bible says that, we'll back up just a little bit, the people said, what shall we do? And he answered to them, in essence, do unto others as you would have others to do unto you. If you have two coats, then give one to the other. If you have meat, do likewise. And then came the publicans to be baptized, and they said, what shall we do? And he said, exact no more than what is appointed to you. And then to the soldiers, they also asked him, what shall we do? And he said, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, be content with your wages. So as John is preaching this prophetic moment that is in front of them in the coming of the Lord, they are moved and they begin to inquire about what they should do at this time or what can they do. And of course, they are answered precisely, if you please. And the Bible says in verse 15, and as the people were in expectation. As John begins to speak to them the things that were important, and really it would be another message if I were to preach on those three verses about the three requests of what they shall do and what the responses was. Really, in essence, it would be the response for all of humanity, and that is to give as you are given unto, and to do unto others. You've had them do unto you, and don't take anything that doesn't belong to you, and don't expect more than what you get. And the list goes on. Basically, just good living, if you please. But you must put yourself in their situation. And you must understand that they had known of these prophecies that John was now reiterating, and John was preaching as something that was imminent, and they begin to inquire why, because that's what people do when they are excited or they're hungry about what God is doing in their life. People want to know, what more can I do? What shall I do? What must we do? It's a question that many people in the church don't ask today, because we just come in many cases with demands, or we have a laundry list that we ask God to do, and that's not altogether wrong, but that's not my point today. That's not who they were. And the Bible says, as they were in expectation. If I were to try and paint a picture for you, I would tell you, as they sat there eagerly waiting on the next move, eagerly waiting on the next words from the man of God, eagerly waiting on some direction or some guidance, they expected to receive something further. They expected to receive something more. They expected that something great would come out of this sermon that was being preached in the present. Are you with me? If I bore you, just do what you do every week and close your eyes and pray. As I pondered this in the 14 minutes I had setting up here, I thought, many people come to the Lord out of need. I would suggest to you, the majority of the people, not all, but the majority, come to the Lord because there's a need in their life. Now, that is not wrong. That's not my point. But here is my point. That's temporal. So if you come to the Lord only out of need, once that need is met or perceived to be met, your need for the Lord will no longer exist. And that's why many people never make a lasting relationship with the Lord, because they come out of need. I think we should come to the Lord out of need, but I think the need ought to morph into something else as we see God work in our lives. And so when the need expires, most of the time, so do many people's need of the Lord. Now, when you think about children and you think about expectation, because this crowd waited and they lingered in expectation, I would even go so far as to tell you they had no bona fide need from the Lord. There wasn't anything they came to seeking. It wasn't like the many people in the New Testament that came to Jesus with a physical need. It wasn't like those that came needing healings and miracles and the dead raised and blinded eyes open and so on and so forth. It was different. They said, what do you want us to do? What shall we do? And then they continued to linger in expectation, expecting something from the Lord. It would be similar to the word of God going forward. And when the preaching is done and the altar call begins to simmer, you sit in your chair and you're waiting still for God to do something further and greater in your life. Because you didn't just come with a need, but you came with expectation. And your expectation is pretty hard to be fulfilled when we understand the size of the God that we serve. It is a God without limits. He's a God without restrictions. He's a God that always desires to do more. He doesn't just want to meet needs, but He also wants to fulfill expectations. And this crowd lingered far after the sermon was done and after the altar call had already been given, but they lingered in expectation, further desiring and expecting to see something more, because the word of God had said so. And so when I think about children, now children have needs. That's all. And we meet those needs, well, some of them, some people, all of them. We still, well, I would speak for myself, want my children to have some expectations. Let me explain. When is the last time you ever heard any of your children or your younger siblings or whoever go to bed and worry and say, "Oh God, is there going to be food on the table tomorrow? I wonder if we'll eat tomorrow. I wonder if mom's going to get the rent paid, and are we going to get evicted?" When's the last time you ever heard that? Rare. You know why? Because they just expect to have a place to live and a roof over their head. Now, I need you to really dial into that just for a moment. They don't worry about it. They don't think about it. They don't talk about it in their little circles. They just expect dinner time is when? Not, "Mom, will we have dinner today?" They just expect to be able to go and sleep in a bed with blankets and pillows. And they expect to have their laundry clean when they need it. And when they don't, the need. "I need my clean pants, Mom." The need is made known. But the need is made known because the expectation is so high. What I'm trying to explain to you is children don't ever, if rarely ever, do they worry about some of those basic things. They have an inherent expectation because they put all of their trust, whether you believe it or not, in their parents. Have you ever been driving in the wintertime and you're white-knuckling the steering wheel because the roads are so bad? And then you look in the back seat and they're... And you wonder, how can you sleep? I can barely drive. I'm so nervous. The roads are so bad. You know why? Because they expect to get in that car and they expect to get out when they get home. Not an arrogant expectation, but an expectation of confidence in who's behind the wheel. An expectation of the one I call Mom or Dad, because that is my hero. That's the one I know will get me from point A to point B. That's the one I know will get me home safe. It's never a question in their mind because their expectation is so high. Am I making any sense? They expect, come school time, we go shopping. When we go shopping for clothes, they don't ask, "Are we? When are we? When are we going? When am I going to get some new shoes?" Because of their expectation. Now, I'm not saying that in a negative way. I think children should be able to expect the very basic things out of life from us as parents. It's our job to provide. It's our job to give them a stable home. It's our job to make sure we're responsible and pay our bills so the lights don't get shut off and then you blame the government for not paying your electric for you. It's our job to make sure that we have the basic necessities in life. And when we do that, it becomes just this inherent expectation from our children. Now, our world, I have found, is need and want driven. And what's happened is that has really put a damper on the church because we have been conditioned to be need and want driven. Give me your prayer requests. Send me your needs. What can we do to help? Let's go out and hand out food to the poor. Let's hand out blankets to the needy. I'm not saying these things are bad, but what I'm saying is we have bred a culture of one that deals with needs, and we have not bred a culture of expectation. Remember the man sat by the gate when Peter and John walked by? And the Bible says he just randomly, without thought, "There's my plate, put some money in it." He had expectation. You know why? Because everybody was very accustomed to putting money in that tray. They felt bad for him. They wanted to be a blessing to him. Whatever the reason, only the Lord Jesus knows and that man. But immediately with expectation, he didn't say, "Could you give?" The Bible says he handed a plate expecting to receive. And what did Peter and John say? They said, "Silver and gold have I none." They said, "Your expectation is good because we should take care of those less fortunate. But you also should expect more than just a handout. You should expect God to do something miraculous in your life. You should expect that if you would ask, God can cause you to stand again and to walk again. But you don't have the proper level of expectation. Your expectation is channeled in the wrong direction. And it's only with physical needs and money and things like that, because that's what we think solves the world's problems. We go to apply for a new job, and one of the first things we want to know, well, we expect there to be health insurance. We expect them to meet those needs. And I'm not suggesting that's bad, but how about expecting the Lord to be your physician? If I, as a parent, am not only okay, but obligated, myself, self-obligated, to take care of my children, would you not think for one moment that God self-obligates himself to take care of his own? Would you not think for one moment that God looks down and he wants us to ask for more than just Christmas presents at Christmas time? Would you not think that God wants us to have big expectations from a big God? He told us in his word that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That means I think it's okay to have expectation of the Lord. That means when I come to the Lord asking, I'm going to have an expectation that he answers. That means when we tell the church we're going to believe God to do miracles, I'm going to have an expectation that he will, because I know that he is much more than a doctor. He has much more than a degree on his wall. He has much more than 8 or 10 years of education in that field. He's been from everlasting to everlasting. There was no beginning to him, and there will be no end to him. And I would suggest to you that it's the will of God that we come into the house of God and we have a high level of expectation on what God will do in this service and that service and in your life and in her life, because he wants to be a God to you. Expectation is the doorway to the miraculous. I was talking to somebody a week or so ago. He's a professed Christian, has a mouth worse than a sailor. Thank God for water. So when I don't have water at my house, Brother Jerry, I will expect to have a bottle of water. Every time. So we're talking, and I don't remember how we got in the conversation, but it got in the conversation of pastors and the way they act. And oh, I don't know. I may have said something, and I wasn't, of course, going to use a curse word. And conversation just took off. And he made a comment. I said, I would hope that you would expect a pastor to have a clean mouth and to have a higher standard in the eyes of society than anybody else. I said, I hold myself higher as far as my expectation of myself, and I think the church should have a high expectation of the ministry. He said, I don't, my pastor. He said, my pastor swears. I don't care, it's his business. And I said, so you're telling me that you don't have a high level of expectation for your pastor that he at least not walk around with a foul mouth and this and that? He goes, no, not at all. Why should I? And I said, that's just sad. And what's worse is your pastor's okay with that, obviously, with the mouth that you told me he has. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, it's reminiscent of our society. And that is, we don't have a high expectation anymore, not only of God, but of the things of God, and as of right and of righteous living, and of a separated lifestyle, and all of those things that used to be. They used to be the pinnacle of what Christianity was. And those standards, do you know why the standards have been lowered so low? Because if we have a high expectation, then we would have to really hold the word of God that comes from said individual in high esteem, and it would probably be wise to follow that. But if I don't want to change my lifestyle, let me just find a preacher that'll go out drinking with me and preach me a good message. Years ago, I was talking to a Catholic priest right in the area. I ain't afraid to say it. I'll tell you what church he pastored to. He ain't there anymore. And he started talking about going to the football game and drinking a beer. And I said, wait a second. I said, the Catholic Church is okay with that? He said, okay with it. He said, I brew it in my basement. I said, holy cow. No wonder you pray to statues. You don't want any response. Just being real. The level of expectation was so low amongst the ranks within that organization and many others. And I will tell you this, we may not always agree, but I would be disappointed if you didn't have a high level of expectation out of me and out of my lifestyle and out of the way I try to present myself. That doesn't mean you should cast stones when I have a bad day, but you should have a high level of expectation. And I know we're not the Lord, and I'm not suggesting that. But what I'm saying is what we expect of God, it trickles down. And when we have high levels of expectation, it's not hard to hold those men or women in high esteem. And when we hold them in high esteem, we don't just brush off the words that they speak, but we take it to heart. And when John came preaching the coming of the Lord, they received it and they embraced it. They didn't argue with John. They didn't say, well, why do you got to do this? How come you got to do that? What's wrong with this and what's wrong with that? They had the soldiers, they had the people, they had the scribes and the Pharisees saying, what should we do? Well, what should we do? What should we do? And when John gave an answer, the Bible says they embraced his answer because they remained there and had this high level of expectation of what was going to come next. What I'm telling you is if we will fix some other things, it won't be hard to have a level of expectation of the Lord that God wants us to have. I'll tell you why, because God wants to be the one that steps into our lives and does the miraculous. God wants to be the one that you turn to, not somebody else. He don't want you finding some other professional or some other educated individual. He wants you going to the Lord, and he wants you to do so with a high level of expectation that I know that my God cares about me, and I know that my God is able, and I know that my God wants to show up, and I know that my God wants to show off, and I know that God wants to do something great in my life today, because God is great, and the word is great, and the preach word is great, and guess what? Even the preacher's great, because when God sets up an institution, he does a far exceeding job above our level of expectation and understanding, because that is a God that I serve, and I come in to his presence with a high level of expectation. So, would you stand with me? Number one. It's time that we're able to have a high level of expectation out of our spouses. Her out of me out of her. It's time we're able to have a high level of expectation out of each other. What do I mean by that? Well, you don't show up on a Sunday morning wondering if so-and-so will be there, because you have learned to respect their walk with God and their faithfulness to such an extent that you expect to see them. When you go home at night, don't you expect the other to return? Do you go home wondering all day, well, I wonder if they're going to come, and she might decide to run off today and find somebody else? If that's your life, then there's something seriously wrong. It's also time that we have a high level of expectation out of ministry. That we have a high level of expectation out of each other's walk with God. And I think when we inherently, as children do, have that high level of expectation, I'm not going to worry. Is God going to step in today? I know he will. Because my level of expectation in God is so high, I know for a fact. Listen to me. When he was asleep on the ship, as the storms were raging, and they came down in a panic. He woke up. He said, what's going on? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's a storm. No. Oh, ye of little faith. What's your level of expectation in me? You think I'm going to lay here on this ship and go down with it? No. I'm telling you, expectation is the doorway to the miraculous. And if we want God to do the miraculous, we've got to start coming expecting. When you walk through the doors of the church on Sunday, there ought to be a high level of anticipation in your heart that God's going to blow something open today. There ought to be a high level of expectation in your life that God is going to do something miraculous in my life and somebody else's life. And if he don't do it in my life, I'm going to rejoice with the other person that he did do it in their life. And then when I do that, I'll continue to have my high level of expectation. I won't get offended at God if he doesn't answer me today. I'm going to continue to expect. Why? Because a faithful, just, righteous, true God wants to answer your prayer. He wants to fix your life. He wants to bless you. He wants your home to be blessed. He wants your marriage to be blessed. He wants your children to be blessed. He wants your home to walk with him and to talk with him. And if you have that level of expectation, I believe that God will begin to do some things that we have tied his hands on. So, as they get ready to sing, I want you to do me a favor, whether you want to come or whether you want to stay right there. But I want you to lift your hands and just begin to expect God to do something great today. Tomorrow, don't expect it to be just another Wednesday, but expect God to do something miraculous. Expect there to come a good report. Maybe you pray for somebody with expectation and go home and expect to receive a good news about that thing that you prayed about, because God is faithful. He's faithful. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray with expectation, with anticipation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore. Every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord.
For those of you praying for a miracle, expect.
It's your breath.
Expect. Expect. Hallelujah.
So we pour out our praise. Pour out.
Come on, pray with excitement. Pray with anticipation. Pray with expectation.
So we pour out our praise.
Hallelujah. When you've been faithful to God, expect God to do great things in your life. When you've tried to stay faithful through all of it, thick and thin, good and bad, ugly and pretty, expect God to do something miraculous to honor your faithfulness. And I believe that God will. I believe that God wants to. Hallelujah.
You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Yes, your breath, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy.
Lord, we love you, Lord.
our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. Yes, in all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise, you only hear. Oh, yes, great are you. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Yes, how great you are. Great are you, and great are you, Lord. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, you only. Oh, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Man, that's a service. That's a service right there. Let's just continue to just come in here with expectation. We pray about it, but let's actually do it. Let's come in here ready for what God's going to do in this place. Amen. Let's just go before the Lord in prayer to close out. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you've done in this place. Lord, for the people that you touched tonight, God, and for the people that you're going to touch in this place. Lord, we thank you, God, for using Pastor tonight, Lord. Even though we had no notes, God, you still pulled through, Jesus. You still gave us a word, God, that we needed to hear tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that we would come in here every service, Lord, not mundane, but come in here every service with expectation and ready, Lord, for what you're going to do in our life, Jesus. We thank you, God, and we praise you in your mighty name. Amen. You can continue praying if you want to. You're dismissed, though. Amen.